We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The third, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob. On the other side of the metaphorical glass today, the great one Lonzo is in charge of everything on this radio station. And now, we welcome to the stream. It's Thursday. You know we talk Panther football on a Thursday. Now, ordinarily, we have this young man join us earlier in the show, but he was off getting the old peepers checked, making sure he's not falling apart. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast, which you can follow on Twitter at Panther Nation PC, or you can make sure you are subscribed to them on YouTube, where they go live like all the time to talk Panther football. Shad, what's up, big dog?
What's up, guys? Love to be on the show, man. Let's get it. Let's talk.
I like it. Let's get into it. Let's jump into the conversation that Lonzo and I had yesterday. We replayed some sound from the Frank Reich introductory presser. Before we get to the take, what was your takeaway? Did you come out of Frank Reich's presser feeling good? Did he let you down? Was it pretty much, hey, I'm just ready to get to work? Like, what was your takeaway from Frank Reich's 39 minutes in front of the podium?
Nah, I loved what I heard. You know, I heard more X's and O's in his press conference than I heard all of Matt Rhule's tenure. So I appreciate him talking good football and setting the vision. A lot of good things. One thing I've heard consistently with Frank Reich is innovation. Like he said it, I've heard other people say it about Frank Reich, the innovator of offenses. So I like that. I like that he also took responsibility for what the Colts situation. He said, "Hey, look, it was on me." We've seen a lot of guys recently deflect and blame others, but you know he took it. Took responsibility for the Colts. A lot of good things, man. I like the principles that he talked about. Including the fans, he understands what keep pounding means. That's important for us. So I love it. I love that he talks about where the game is going. It's a passing league, but you got to be able to run the football. So I loved it. I love what I heard from Frank Reich, and it got me excited for sure.
Was there anything that he said that you didn't want to hear? Was there anything he didn't say that you did?
No, I didn't expect, and you know, people were talking about this whole turf situation and him not being able to hear the question. That's not really his job. So I really don't really care about what he said with the turf. I wish I would have heard was a little bit more on what he wants to do with the quarterback. He did drop a couple of inklings regarding drafting a quarterback versus bringing one in. But I wanted to hear him talk about maybe what he thought about Matt Corral or what he thought about Sam Darnold. And I know Sam Darnold is under contract right now, but I would have liked to hear a little bit more about what he wanted to see. I mean, he kind of touched on a little bit about what he wants to see in the quarterback. But I just would like to hear a little bit more of his vision there.
So here was my takeaway from it. And I will acknowledge, Rashad, that this conversation is coming from a media dude more than a fan. Here's what I didn't like. Frank Reich got asked a couple of different times and in different phrases, what do you think's been wrong with this team? Like, what are the problems with this team and how would you fix them? Like, what's your vision to fix the issues and what are those issues? And he never really addressed that. And to me, the only way to get better is to fix what's broken, right? Like, if my car's got a flat tire, there's no sense in me going out there and sticking a new muffler on it. I got to fix what's broken. Then once everything's fixed, I can start continuing to shine it up a little bit more. I would have loved to have heard Frank Reich, and I'm not saying he's got to call out individual players, doesn't have to say Matt Rhule's a bad coach, Steve Wilks just wasn't good enough, whatever, but just overall, what has been going wrong for the last couple of years with Carolina, and what is your plan to address those things? I'd have felt a little bit better about that, but it was like it was all cheerleader. It was all rah-rah, everything's great, And that's not like that's not a realistic approach for a dude who's coming in to take over a program that has won more than five games once in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't expect the man to come in and be able to assess the entire, like, he just got there, right, first of all. So, like, I understand, yes, he probably knows what the problems are, but he's not going to publicly, like, say, hey, you sitting right there on the front row, because they were the players were there, you're the problem. So he's not gonna do that. I think he has some ideas, and I would push back a little bit, to be honest, and I would say, hey, the coaches were the problem. You see, we got Wilkes in here, and he flipped it around and got us 6-6. So him, I think, and I did, he did kind of address this, talking about, hey, who I intend to bring in. We want to build the best, coordination staff there is. And so I think that is the biggest issue. If you fix bringing in the coordination, bringing in the best offensive coordinator, the best defense coordinator, which they tried to do with Vic Fangio, right? They tried to offer him to be the highest paid defensive coordinator. They try to do that. And so when I see that, I say, hey, that's effort. That's going in the right direction, in my opinion. Now, what are we going to do with offensive coordinator? Are you going to call plays? They asked him that, right? And I think that him calling plays, you know, one thing I did like that I heard from him was that, hey, he called out the trends, right? Hey, the trend is, although I've called plays my entire career, the trend is that I'm gonna hand it over and let our offensive coordinator do that. That's what I like to hear, because you're actually paying attention to what's going on across the league. So I like what I heard from him, and we got to give him some time to let him build out. I don't think he knows what's going on just yet. I don't know. I don't think he really, until he can get his coordinators in here to help him out, I think then we'll get a better plan, personally.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday to talk a little bit of Carolina Panther football. He did mention at one point, well, let me start with something else that you mentioned there. You mentioned there were players there, and I will tell you the thing that I started the segment off with yesterday that I very much appreciated out of Frank Reich. Tep calls him up, intros him, gives him the podium. Reich kind of went off the path to go over and shake the hand of every single player, talk to every single player that was there. And I've seen a couple of Isaiah's putting on a show or whatever, and maybe it is. But the fact that I have seen these pressers happen 100 times, and that is the first time off the top of my head that I can recall that a coach spent as much time saying, it's about these guys. These are the stars. These are the guys that sells tickets. These are the guys that have to make plays. These are the guys that put their body on the line. They have a voice. We are going to collaborate with them. He did say, it ain't a democracy. It's still my decision, but I will make my decision with them in mind. I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear what they want to do. I want their input. The fact that he leans so heavily on, I want to make sure that the players recognize that they are the stars, the producers of this game, and I'm just there to streamline everything. Man, if I'm a Panther player, I got to appreciate that, right?
No, yeah, I think that was great. And I also appreciate, because that's a tough situation for him to be in. I appreciate him saying, hey, listen, I still got to run the ship. Like, you guys have to listen to what I'm saying and follow my lead. Now, you all, again, the power is in, you have to execute. You have to have the accelerated vision. You have to have the footwork. You have to have playmakers. You have to have the X factor. He talked about all that stuff, but at the same time, listen, I run the show. And so, listen, it goes back to Steve Wilkes, right? And they all wanted Steve Wilkes. It's not his fault he got hired. And so you put him in a really awkward situation for all the guys that went on record for Wilkes. And now that, you know, they may feel some type of way. He said it way better than I could, because that's exactly what I said. Listen, the players can't run the ship. If you let them make the decisions, they can't, they're not paid to make those type of decisions. They're making emotional decisions. At the end of the day, I have to do what's best for the Carolina Panthers organization. I look at this from a different level. And so I appreciate him going to that level of detail, because that's a tough situation to be in.
Rashad Beard joining us here on the show. And, you know, the second part was that stuck out to me. And listen, a lot of it was stuff you expected, right? Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I love the fact that he mentioned that, you know, his kids still live in Charlotte, that he has made Charlotte his home whenever he's not actively coaching. I like that he made it clear he wants to be there. But the thing that stuck out to me predominantly was when you talk about the play calling, they said, are you going to call the plays? And he said, look, We're going to go get the coordinators we can get. We're going to get the best team we can get. I'm not trying to bring my buddies or my friends. I want to get the best coordinators I can get. If we get a guy that comes in here, it's got a good mind on him, sees the offense, knows how to call the plays, I will gladly hand the duties over. And if I feel like me calling the play calls, I've had success with that, is the best way to do it, then I'll call the plays. But he kind of kept hitting on, this isn't about the things that I want to do or not want to do. This is about doing the things necessary to make the team as good as it can be. I appreciated that moment out of Frank Reich in saying, if I'm the best play caller on the team, I'm calling the plays. And if we get somebody in here who sees the offense better than I do, then I'll hand it off. That willingness to say that and, more importantly, do that, I think is big for Carolina.
Yeah, I think he's got to bring the philosophy, right? He says, hey, this is the idea. This is what we're going to do based on the – and I think flexibility is what you're describing. You know, being able – because, not again, you get a quarterback. Let's say we draft a C.J. Stroud or whatnot. His strengths fit to a certain skill set, right? You have to be able to build the offense and be flexible. Trying to take these guys and putting them in a certain box and making them do certain things they're not comfortable with doing ends up making these guys fail. And so I think what you're describing is exactly what I want in my head coach: flexibility. I'm going to bend the offense to make it work for the guys I have. And if it doesn't work, hey, I'm maybe not the right guy to play call the plays. And that's okay. Being willing to do that is what I want out of my head coach. Another thing that he said that I really like, and it just came to my brain, was that he said the playoffs is the floor. I almost shed a tear when he said that, because that's what I've been saying. Listen, we get in a situation, Carolina Panthers fans, and I said this I think last week, is that we're just so thirsty for a little bit of success that we're just willing to accept whatever. Like, mediocrity for the Carolina Panthers fans is what we've seen. That's not acceptable anymore. Listen, the playoffs is that's the floor. That's what we want to be at the worst, is a playoff team. The ultimate goal is championships. And I appreciate that. And I'm hoping, and from what I've seen so far from Tepper and Scott Fitterer and Reich so far, is that the moves that they're making lend towards that, right? It's not just about being a mediocre team and winning the division every now and then. That's okay. The playoffs is the floor. Let's get there every year. And then, obviously, the championships is the ultimate goal. So I like what I'm hearing out of Frank.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast, joins us every Thursday, usually ordinarily earlier in the show, but we're happy to talk Panther football whenever we can. I was also very interested in the fallout, the discussion that David Tepper has had over the past week, right? He said that the hiring process to bring in Matt Rhule was flawed, and that it was run the wrong way, right? And it's one of those things that, for us as fans, the guys that didn't have to sign that contract or make that choice or pick that guy, it's real easy to beat up on the dude that did, right? And go, how bad do you have to be to not see that that wasn't going to work out, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that Tepper owned it, as opposed to going, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. At the end of the day, it was just time for the program. But the fact for him to say the process was bad, the hire was bad, and we've got to do better. I've ripped on David Tepper a lot, and I got news for you. I probably will continue to do so. But I appreciate an owner who comes out and owns it and goes, I screwed up, and I see that I screwed up, because it tells me he's taking a step forward and learning the game more. Did you hear that? Did you respond to it the way that I did?
Yeah, I have the same viewpoint, and I'm with you. That probably won't be the last time I rag on David Tepper. I mean, I've complained a lot about what he's done, and I'm still going to complain until we get a grass field again. However, I must admit, he is a billionaire, right? He doesn't have to come up here and say, hey, guys, I made a mistake. Like, he doesn't owe the fans that. I mean, realistically, he can do whatever he wants. He's a billionaire, and he's to have that level of understanding that and enough compassion to say, hey, listen, I hear you guys. I made a mistake. Hiring a CEO style coach was not the right thing for me to do. It took a lot for him to do that. He didn't have to do that, and so I appreciate him doing that. And hopefully, from here on out, like I said, it's actions. Actions speak louder than words. And right now, he's doing that. He's following up with his action. He hired an offensive-minded coach, something he said he wanted to do a long time ago. Right now, he's starting to actually follow up on some of this stuff. So I appreciate him apologizing. And essentially saying, hey, I made a mistake. That's big for me.
All right, last one. We are waiting to find out who the coordinators are going to be. There's a very interesting situation that started developing yesterday with former South Carolina Gamecock turned Philadelphia Eagle Deuce Staley, who has left Detroit to come down and join the staff. Now, my initial reaction was, traditionally, if you hire an assistant away from another team, you have to elevate them. You have to promote them. They cannot make a lateral move. But then we found out that Deuce Staley actually asked the Detroit Lions for permission to leave and go to Carolina. So I think the gut reaction was, oh, Deuce Staley's the OC, a guy that's got a lot of fire, a lot of intensity. He's a player's coach, no doubt about it, but he's got a good eye for the game. Then we find out that he actually left Detroit to come over, and they gave him permission because his mother is sick. She lives in the Carolinas. He wants to be closer to her, and obviously his sister coaching over at South Carolina. Now that family's kind of closer together. Is Deuce Staley the OC, or do you think we're going to hear another name start to trickle out in the next couple of days? And if so, is Deuce a good pick for that spot?
I think Deuce is interesting at OC. I think, again, coming from that Lions system that was successful. I like picking and taking guys from successful teams. And if he wants to bring that juice, that Lions juice, that even though, you know, their defense wasn't that good when we ran 500 yards on them during that week.
He was a running backs coach, dog. He wasn't coaching
exactly. He is not that. He doesn't coach that side of the football. So that doesn't got have anything to do with him. So I'm all for Deuce. I don't know that he's going to be the OC. I heard the same thing that you heard. Mother sick, wants to be closer to home. I have heard that we're going to look to interview Jim Bob Cooter, who is the pass game coordinator from Jacksonville. So keep an eye on that. I do not know who's going to be the OC. I also heard that maybe we're looking at, I think Brian Johnson out of, or Ben Johnson, I can't remember which one it is. I get the names confused, but, from the Philadelphia Eagles, the quarterbacks coach from the Philadelphia Eagles, that's another name to keep an eye on. Maybe why it hasn't been announced yet. He can't officially, you know, become an interview as offensive coordinator until the Super Bowl is over with. So I don't know. I have no idea who the offensive coordinator is, but if it is Deuce, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it one bit.
All right, I got to jump in here real quick. Rashad is the only person I've ever heard say Jim Bob Cooter, and it sounded cool. He's the only one I've ever heard say that. Anybody else, we're going to put some twang on it or something. It sounded cool.
That's Jim Bob Cooter
Jim
right
Bob
there.
Cooter. Jim Bob Cooter. Rashad says it sounds cool.
That's a tough one to
By the way, I agree with you, but I also say this. If that's the pick, a guy that Carolina's requested the interview for, if that turns out to be the pick, I don't hate it, right? This dude took Trevor Lawrence, a guy who had his rookie year absolutely ruined by the worst coach in the history of the National Football League, Urban Meyer. He brought him back this year, and all they did was take TL16 to a new height and win the AFC South. Now, granted, passing game coordinator, not offensive coordinator, but if Jim Bob Cooter is the guy, not only am I on board with it and his ability to expand an offense as he showed in Jacksonville, but can you imagine us popping the interview, ladies and gentlemen, making his fan upstate debut, the OC of the Panthers, Jim Bob Cooter, baby! Incredible.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear. Now I want him.
That's right.
I want to hear that.
That's right.
Real quick, I will add though, he had a stint with the Lions as OC as well. Did a really good job with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford had a career season with him. 29 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 99.3 passer rating. So he's had some success in the NFL, and that's what I like to see. So I'm not mad at Jim Bob Cooter either. I love the offensive staff that they're building. It having Deuce in some way, shape, or form, a capacity. That dude Deuce has some juice. If you watch him, the Hard Knocks, you see him, there's Twitter clips floating around, go look at him. I like that kind of energy. I want all that in Carolina.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, Rashad, go ahead and trademark Deuce Got Juice, because if that's the guy, you just printed the first T-shirt. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday to talk Carolina football. My guy, good to have you back, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, and we might have a couple of names.
Hey, Jim Bob, I got to hear
Jim Bob Cooter, baby! I'm here for it. Rashad, talk to you next week, my dude.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
You got it. That is Rashad Beard. Make sure that you follow the Panther Nation podcast on Twitter.
You can't say Cooter without
Jimbo Cooter.
No, Cooter. You put serious twang on Cooter.
I can't not do it. His name is Jim Bob Cooter.
I know.
How is she supposed to say it?
Well, because I think you revert back to Dukes of
Hazzard. Ladies and gentlemen, the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, Mr. Jim Bob Cooter.
Even then,
I can't not do it.
You got twang in there.
I can't not do it. What do you want? Panther Nation Podcast is on Twitter, Panther Nation PC, but make sure you search and subscribe to them on their YouTube channel. They go live like a lot of the time. Rashad, David Rhodes, it is tremendous stuff if you're a Cats fan. We are back after this. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Fight Club! We're talking pro wrestling, MMA, and boxing with Lonzo when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we come at you like a Gunther slap. You all right? You good? You all right?
I don't mean to ruin the momentum of your segment out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had a big announcement and everything.
Oh, we're coming to that. This is worth it.
I hope so. We'll see.
This is worth it. So today is Groundhog Day, which we haven't even referenced yet. Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, I had it on Twitter trending topics. Okay. Now I'll just have to take it off.
That's fine. It's Groundhog Day. And obviously Punxsutawney Phil, the legendary groundhog.
Saw a shadow.
I don't know or care.
Yeah, he saw a shadow.
Okay, great. 6 more weeks, whatever it
wow.
is.
Wow. You see that outside? We're getting 6 more weeks of that.
Yeah.
Because it rains for winter in South Carolina.
I'm about to elevate the game.
Ooh.
I did not know
did
this.
Did someone kill and fry up Punxsutawney Phil?
No. In New Orleans, they have decided to go one step further. In New Orleans, there is a big rodent called the Nutria. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Wait a minute. A big rodent.
It's a big rodent.
So it's like
a giant rat beaver.
It's a giant rat beaver.
Nutria. Feel free to look it up. Nutria.
Is it like a mole rat?
Like a real big one.
I mean, from Fallout.
Kind of.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Okay. It's like a real big one.
Okay.
All right. In New Orleans, they have a nutria that they bring out to see if it sees its sun shadow on the ground. The name of that, Lonzo, is Pierre C. Shadow. Pierre C. Shadow.
So you interrupted my big announcement.
Pierre C. Shadow.
Pierre C. Shadow. Really? You know, I was in my build-up, got all that stuff, going to drop some knowledge.
Pierre C. Shadow.
Pierre C. His face is turning red. His face is absolutely turning
That's
red.
That's incredible. Anyway, for the second funnest thing we're going to say in this segment.
I beg to differ on that one. And if you're going to say Pierre C. Shadow, you got to do it in a French accent, don't you?
Pierre C. Shadow.
Or is that Cajun enough? You got to do a Cajun?
That's just French with a twang.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. All right. So, big announcement. Not as big as Pierre C. Shadow. I started off talking about Gunther.
Gunther.
The Ring General. I can't do it, man.
No, you shouldn't do that.
No, I'm going to ask him to teach me.
You're
how to do that.
Ask him? How are you going to ask him?
I'm going to ask him to teach me because.
How are you going to ask him? Do you know him?
Because he's going to be live in studio tomorrow, right?
Yes,
here
indeed.
On this very program at
10:45.
Yes.
10:45 a.m. We will be joined in studio by your reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther.
Now, we don't know the legality. There's some legality to this, and I don't know if he's allowed to, but someone in this room wants to be chopped.
Nope, that is not what I said.
Oh, you changed your mind?
No, that is not what I said. What I said was, do I ask to take a chop?
Okay.
From Gunther.
All right, so if you ask a coworker, hey, should I ask this? Doesn't that mean you're thinking about asking it?
Oh, I am absolutely thinking about it. I am not acknowledging that I'm not thinking about it. However, Last night, because I was bored, I decided to go back and watch Rumble again.
No, because you were working and in doing research.
Because
on
I was
our guest.
Show prepping.
There we go.
I decided to go back and watch the Rumble because our guest tomorrow, WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther, set the record for longest stretch of time in a Royal Rumble match.
Started out at number one.
Started out at one and was the last man eliminated by Cody Rhodes in his way to a Royal Rumble victory in a main event at WrestleMania. So, I went back to watch it, and there's a spot about halfway through where he gave a chop, and I can't even remember who. Now, we did our Views from Main Street pod, and I said, Zoe, we got Gunther on the show tomorrow, and we got excited about it. We were talking about how we're going to interview him, what we're going to ask him, yada, yada, yada. And I said, should I ask to take a chop on the air? And then I watched the Royal Rumble, and I watched Gunther give a Walter chop to a dude, and I'm like,
All right. Here's the thing, Rob. Here's what you need to consider, okay?
Gunther, that my heart might explode?
No. Gunther's in a ring with a lot of smaller guys, shorter guys. You are not that guy. You're a bigger guy. You can handle a chop like that. Yeah, Rey Mysterio, it's going to look like it hurts. You're not Rey Mysterio. You're Rob Brown. I mean, come on. I saw you fill out that first pitch. I think you can handle a chop.
Listen, I am an elite level athlete.
There you
I'm
go.
Not arguing that,
there
right?
You go.
I am an elite level
athlete. And you don't even have to bare chest it. I mean, he can do it over your shirt.
Dude, this dude made his name on the circuit by chopping dudes' sternums through their own chest cavity.
If you are not a wrestling fan, you're probably listening to the wrong show, but if you're not a wrestling fan and you're listening to this segment and you're going, okay, I don't know who this is, look up Gunther or Walter and you will see, a nice little video packages out there of nothing but chops. And I'm going to talk to him about this tomorrow, but before I knew who he was, I had a couple buddies that worked in the radio in this building, and they're like, you've got to see this guy. And I'm like, yeah, I've never heard of him before. And this was before he came to WWE, and they just showed me videos, the chop videos, and I'm just like, oh. And you and I have been in an arena for AEW, and they had a chop fest that was so loud that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I got to believe
this guy
that
is the chop guy.
He is the chop. If you get chopped by him, I think they'll hear the hallway.
I'm not even kidding you to tell you I'm afraid my heart will stop. That's not a joke. I'm afraid if I took a – the question would be, if we do, does he full-fledged do it? Or does he go, I don't want to murder this man live on the radio. Let me give him like 20%.
Here's what I believe.
Let me give him enough that he regrets it, but not enough that he needs an ambulance.
I believe we could talk all the stuff we want and everything, but I think it comes down to, I'm not saying you're talking stuff. I'm saying we could if we wanted to, because unless his guys with him are bringing in a stack of waivers to be signed, I think there's legality involved, and I'm not sure he would do it. I'm not sure he's allowed to.
I will tell you this. So those of you that have listened to this show for some length of time know that I used to, back in Florida, do ring announcing and other stuff for a couple of small indie promotions down there. And we had come through that area a number of usually older superstars, but some that were not so much. I have been involved with the Matt Hardy match. I have been involved with the Marty Jannetty match. I have been involved in a match with, here's my favorite one of all time, Eugene. Remember Eugene?
Yes.
Eugene would not fly on TV today. Nicest one of all of them.
You don't like midgets.
Eugene was great. Loved Eugene. I have been involved in a match with the New Age Outlaws. I am 1-0 in professional wrestling as a tag team member of the New Age Outlaws. I am indeed an honorary member of the New Age Outlaws. Had a blast doing all that. When the Outlaws were in town, I took a power slam from Badass Billy Gunn, who is still very large.
Also now known as Daddy.
Daddy Ass, for sure. I took a suplex from Matt Hardy when he was there. I learned how to, like, I did this stuff. I would take 50 Billy Gunn power slams before I took a chop, a full-fledged chop from Gunther. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to talk about it, and he's going to come in here tomorrow, and he's going to have to turn sideways to walk through the door, and I'm going to go, yeah, no, I might. I'm good.
All right, I was curious, because I'm always curious about how tall wrestlers are. Apparently he's 6'4". So you and I are going to have a problem, because we're not used to people being taller than us. And I just find that very annoying, that someone's taller than me.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I'm not going to tell him that.
I don't think that there's anybody that works in this building that has me.
There used to be.
Yeah, I'm sure there used to be, but there's not right now. Like, I'm the biggest dude in this building right now. I'm the tallest guy in this building right
by
now.
By like a half an inch or something. I get it.
We're dudes. We take that.
I get it.
Right?
Okay.
We take that. This dude's got me by an inch. We weigh the same, but he's an athlete. I am a fat slob.
Whereas he is svelte and he's slimmed down, and we're going to have discussions about that when he comes in, too.
Because, dude's in great shape.
Because dude is, he put some work in. And so this is going to be a fun interview. The last in-studio interview with a wrestler that I can recall is when Charlotte Flair was sitting right over there when she came in, and that was a good little bit ago. By the way, Charlotte Flair going to be in Greenville also tomorrow night, because tomorrow night
title match
is SmackDown at the Well, and we'll be there.
Yep, Charlotte Flair in a title match with Sonya Deville. We know that. We know that we have a match between Braun Strowman and Ricochet in a tag team eliminator against Imperium. That is the tag team associated with the WWE Intercontinental Champion, the Ring General Gunther, who will be live in studio tomorrow. So you have about 23 hours. If you've got any questions you would like us to ask Gunther, if you've got any comments you want to throw them at us on social media at The Rob Brown Show, looking forward to that.
So my question for the guys on the stream on Twitter, Twitch,
and for the
YouTube,
record, real quick, sorry, Facebook. I don't mean to interrupt. This guy's a guy
it's
just
twice
said,
now. I quit.
If Gunther can't do it, there is a local wrestler who is very well known for his chops, JD Drake. He's on AEW. I have taken chops before. I took chops, and I forget the guy's name, and I apologize, but I took chops from a guy that was in Ring of Honor back when Ring of Honor was like not AEW property, but like right before it kind of hit the brakes.
Yeah.
I took a chop from that guy, who was another guy kind of known for chops, obviously nowhere near Gunther. I took a bare-chested chop from that guy, and it stung for, I'm not kidding you, about 24 hours before it finally got to where, like, I went home that night and could not put a shirt back on. Like, I went home, I showered, and I was like, no, I'm just going to be a fat guy with no shirt on tonight because, ow.
Was it worth it?
It depends on what you mean. Did it entertain the hell out of the people around me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
oh, yeah.
That's what we're about. So tomorrow, if the opportunity should arise and the Armada calls for it, you gotta take the chop, man.
We'll see. It's the best I'm going to give you
If something like this should happen, because we get him for a half hour, which means there's going to be a commercial break in there. And during that commercial break, you're going to get some exclusive stuff, fingers crossed, with us and Gunther, maybe even a chop. You know what we could do? We can just pick a rando from the hallway, get him to come in here and just have him chop him.
Not really.
Walk
if he,
the
if
door.
He, if he chops Stone Man, he might crack him in half.
He'd have to swing awful down.
Yeah.
I mean, way down there. We could get someone from the newsroom. We'll get Rob Jones in here. Rob Jones would do it.
Rob Jones would do it.
We'll bring Rob Jones in here.
Poor Matthew would turn into a cloud of dust.
Yeah, I'm not doing that to Matthew. We'll bring Rob Jones in here. He's an old wrestling guy. He'll take it. All right, so SmackDown tomorrow night. If you are there, come up and just close your eyes and listen, and you'll find out where Rob is. And I'm sure he would love to meet you. I would love to meet you also, but don't expect lengthy conversation because – hi, how you doing? Is that's like the length of my vocabulary when I'm live and in person. And if you are watching from afar, I am having a good time. Just warning you, because I'm intense. I'm in the moment. I don't cheer a whole lot because I might miss something. And I'm just drinking it all in, man.
Steven said you might have better luck with the Duke's Mayo Challenge than the chop. Yeah, I might die
either way. Given the choice, if you had no choice but to, you going mayo or you going chop? Hey, that chop, the mayo could have lasting effects. That chop, you know, a week or two later, the swelling might go down and you'd be all right.
I'm not even kidding when I say I'm genuinely concerned that he might reset
Kevin,
my body.
Kevin, if you do that, I'm leaving, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to be there with my family. Do not do that.
All right. So
see, he's the only one I'm worried about actually doing what he's saying he'll do. The Royal Rumble was excellent on all counts, especially Cody won, Rhea won. We kind of knew that's how that was going to go, and it wasn't really that bad as far as knowing who's going to win. But the best thing happened at the end. The Bloodline is not what it was. It is no longer that. They beat up Kevin Owens pretty bad. They wanted Sami Zayn or you know, he who needs to be acknowledged, wanted Sami Zayn to beat up Kevin Owens with a chair, and he couldn't do it, and he gave a chair shot to Roman. But that wasn't the biggest surprise. The biggest swerve, and I've seen this everywhere, is not that Sami turned to protect his friend. It's that Jey Uso walked out. That is the biggest. I don't think anyone saw that coming. And that was great.
I think the drama around that was heightened by Sami going Seth on Roman, right? Like when he did that, I think that in itself was a spot. I think Jey walking out was a spot, but I think that those two things combined, and it's not even about the chair swing or the walkout so much as it is about now all of the sudden what's next, right? Like that's what that is. Tomorrow's going to be a great show. I can't wait. WWE's been very, very good the last half a year under Triple H. Tomorrow I am most pumped. We get a women's championship match. That's great.
We do.
A tag match between.
I'm not sure that Sonya Deville deserves it, but
it
she gets
it. The storyline is that she keeps getting them without deserving
right,
them. That's a fun story.
Right. When you're ex-management, you can do some finagling because you know how the system works.
We get a Braun and Ricochet tag team match against Imperium, who I am a huge fan
By the
of
way,
right now. Very
Ricochet,
excited about that.
Ricochet and Logan Paul at the Rumble, even though it's been done before, it's still amazing. It doesn't happen very often. Jumping from one side of the ring to the other and running into each other in the air, that's that it's an amazing thing to watch.
Yes, it is. Phenomenal moment.
And Logan Paul was a surprise because
and a very pleasant
one. Yeah.
Phenomenal is Ricochet. Big fan. I suspect there's a very good chance we get a Logan Paul appearance to kind of harp on that if Ricochet is going to be there.
I hope so. I'm interested in how the upstate will react to Logan Paul.
It will be interesting. But all that being said, to get back to the full circle of this, I'm not waiting for anything other than what I suspect opens the show, and that is a showdown. Now, the question mark is going to be, and I don't know if we'll get any clues about this, because remember, we do have the Elimination Chamber event before WrestleMania. Are they going to have Jey roll over with KO and Sami, and now you have Roman Solo and Jimmy versus Jey, Sami, and KO? Are you going to give Sami the opportunity to go after Roman, or are you going to have Cody take that spot and make it more about Sami and KO and the Usa? Like, there's 50 different ways this could go, and they've done so good with this story so far that I am genuinely excited to see what tomorrow holds.
So anyway, don't forget, tomorrow, 10:45 to 11:15 is when he's scheduled to be in studio. We are going to have Gunther here. We're going to ask him a ton of questions, and we'll take your questions too. And we'll have a lot of fun with him, and maybe someone gets chopped, maybe someone doesn't. You know, I mean, it's still going to be fun either way.
I shouldn't open my stupid mouth. I really should.
Well, you didn't know I was going to say it. Mouth. You know, I mean.
Yeah, in fact, I do believe I specifically said, don't bring this up on air, but.
I don't recall you saying that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't,
if only had a recorded video that I could go back and check.
Yeah, that part isn't recorded.
Oh, no, it's not!
Yeah, so I mean, you know.
Dang it. Oh, well. We'll see. WWE Intercontinental Champion, the Ring General Gunther, will be in studio tomorrow at 10:45. Stay tuned for that. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the third, final, and best hour of the show, and call it a Thursday on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
All right, time for Twitter Trending Topics, where I tell Rob what's trending, and he will tell us why it is trending. Gisele Bündchen is trending.
So Tom Brady puts out the video yesterday, which was then immediately recognized as definitely not having been filmed the morning it was released. That was awkward. Triggered some conspiracy theories, and by some conspiracy theories, I mean mine. But then the weird part was that shortly after that, the official Giselle social media, I think Instagram account, commented on Brady's retirement video and said effectively, cheers to your next chapter of life, whatever that might be.
It's like, we wish you well in your future endeavors. Yeah. That's basically what it was.
Brady got future endeavored by his ex-wife that he divorced so he could go 8-9 and lose to the Dallas Cowboys in the wild card round. It was, you ever been in a bar when a couple around you's broken up? You ever been in a bar when a couple around you broke up that you were friends with? I have. It's very awkward. Very, very awkward. And that was the same vibe that Giselle dumped on all of America yesterday.
You know, if I had friends, I think it probably would be awkward. All right, the next thing trendy is Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley? Birthday?
Yes.
73.
Oh, she ain't that old, dude. She's
65.
65.
There you go.
65. All right, one last thing. It's kind of a sad thing. It's not a death, but it... Some people may consider that Ozzy is trending.
Did I see Ozzy retired?
He has to.
He has to?
Because he had he's had several spinal surgeries. He's had stem cell treatments, a bunch of things like that, and he just can't.
Just can't do it.
Yeah, so.
I think that's okay. I think Ozzy's given us enough, right? I think Black Sabbath, one of the most unappreciated bands of all freaking time, and Ozzy Osbourne has given us enough. Ozzy, head to your mansion, pop down on the comfiest couch, sit back, relax, and enjoy the appreciation that you have earned.
Yeah, he put out it's like a page long thing. You need to check it out. And he says his voice is fine.
Yeah.
But physically, he just can't do it anymore.
I think Ozzy's walking away at a point where Ozzy has contributed enough to the music scene that he walks away as an absolute legend in rock and roll.
Hey, Rob.
Black Sabbath remains a GOAT tier band.
Hey, Rob. We got SmackDown tomorrow and Gunther in studio.
Live in studio, WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther will be here tomorrow at 10:45. Then we'll have a SmackDown preview probably. And we'll talk Pro Bowl flag football game. How are you not juiced about this? He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. We're back tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. Later, brother.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.